My brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we look at our life in general and our attitude towards life, there are pretty much two basic stances. We either are a people of hope or we are a people of despair. Either we are people who trust God or we are people who are constantly afraid. Either we are a people of joy or a people of dread. And as we continue our Advent journey, my brothers and sisters, it is important that we examine our own lives. As we prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of the King, what type of attitude do we have? Is it the attitude that the Lord Jesus asked of us? Complete trust and abandonment in Him, and in that complete trust and abandonment in the Lord, then the fruits of joy and peace and goodwill will be ours. But sometimes, my friends, we are more on the side of fear and dread and despair. Some of you may be familiar with, many years ago, there was a comedian by the name of W.C. Fields. And when W.C. Fields died, he died with numerous bank accounts that he had opened all over the world. And many of them were never found, even till this day. Because anytime he traveled to another city, another country, he would open a bank account. He would often put it under a fictitious name, and he would never write down the deposit amount. Only he knew where the bank account was and how much was in it. And all that evaporated upon his death. And towards the end of his life, one of his friends asked him, "Why do you do that? Why do you open a bank account in every city that you're in?" And his response was this: "Since a child, I've always had this dream. And in this dream, I am stranded in a foreign city or a foreign country with no money and no food and no housing and no clothing. And so because of that fear, I am always concerned that I'm going to be somewhere and not have anything. And so therefore, I open these bank accounts wherever I am." You see, my brothers and sisters, that comedian W.C. Fields was living in a state of fear based upon a dream he had. There was no trust in God's providence, no trust in God providing. But the fear led to building up barns. And many times, my friends, it's the same that is true in our own lives. But the good news, my brothers and sisters, the good news of the gospel, the good news of this season of Advent is that we're not meant to live in fear. We are meant to live in hope. Because our God is a God of hope. Look at what St. Paul writes in our second reading. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another and in keeping with Christ Jesus." And if you continue reading, in chapter 15, in his letter to the Romans, verse 13, he writes this: "May the God of hope that fills you with all joy and peace be with you so that you may abound in hope by the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope. You see, my brothers and sisters, we don't have a God of fear or a God of dread or a God of despair. We have a God of hope. And in this season of Advent, we are preparing our hearts and minds to welcome that good news of great joy once again into our hearts, to be renewed so that in those areas in our life where we have fear, or we have dread, or we have despair, or we are despondent, or whatever it may be, our hope may be strengthened. Our God is a God of hope. Do you remember the story in the book of Genesis? The story of Abraham. At this point in the story, he is not Abraham, yet he's still Abram. And Abram was complaining to God because he and his wife were very old age, and they had no children, no descendants. And so how is God going to make a great nation and they have no kids? I had a scripture professor who referred to Abram and Sarah at this point as the old man and the old broad. What were they going to do? And what does God say to Abram? He says, go out and look at the stars in the sky. And if you can count the number of stars in the sky, so shall your descendants be. And God was faithful to his promise. A great nation was born. You see, my brothers and sisters, in this season of Advent, whether we go outside and look at the stars, how numerous they are, or how numerous the lights are on the Christmas tree, or whatever analogy we may want to use, do we trust that there's really only one star? The Epiphany star that leads us to the heart of Jesus, who is our hope, who is our joy, and who fills us with hope and joy, even in the most difficult of circumstances in our life. And that God of hope, my friends, is a God of hope for us as a world, and he's a God of hope for us as individuals. There's a wonderful little short story. It was written by H.G. Wells. You may have read it before. In the Days of the Comet. In the Days of the Comet. And it's sort of a science fiction story, but this is the basis of the story. Wells basically writes that there is this green fog that one day descends out of the clouds onto all the people of the earth. And this green fog or foam or whatever it is, it makes everyone go to sleep for 3 days. And after they awake from their 3-day slumber, people notice an innate change in every individual in the world. People no longer worrying about pettiness, but now they know how to love. There's no more hatred and there's no more violence. There is peace because people know how to be self-giving. There's a transformation in humanity. And Wells is writing this short story, my brothers and sisters, and yes, maybe it is a scientific short story, but that short story has a basis in truth. Because the truth is, my brothers and sisters, you and I, we're not waiting for the green fog. We're waiting for the Messiah. And what is the Messiah going to do? Go back to our first reading from the prophet Isaiah. The wolf shall be a guest of the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. A transformation. And where is this transformation going to come from? Isaiah writes, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. It is a prediction of the coming of the Messiah. The one who we call Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the transformation that God desires in our own life. Because when we open our hearts to Jesus, we're not concerned about all the things that irritate us and aggravate us. But we're focused on the one who gives us hope. In the gospel today, that is what St. John the Baptist is proclaiming. He is the last of the great prophets before the coming of the Messiah. And he's telling the people to prepare. Prepare your hearts. Repent. Be ready so that we may bear good fruit as the Messiah comes. We have a God of hope, my friend. And God is a hope for us as a people, as a society, for transformation, and he's also a hope for us as individuals. There's a story that comes out of World War II. Hitler was bombing London like crazy during the war. And so what did the people do? They took all the children and they put them in trains and they took them out of the city during the bombings. And one of the reporters asked one of the little boys, probably about 6 or 7, he says to him, "Where are you going?" As the little boy is being boarded on the train very quickly. And the little boy says to the reporter, "I don't know, but the king knows." Now, he certainly wasn't talking about Jesus. He's talking about the King of England. But you see, my friends, the same is true for us. It doesn't matter where the train is going. The king knows. But do we have faith that as it leaves the station, all will be well? He is hope to us as individuals. Because, you see, my friends, the full coming of the kingdom, the full coming happens when we meet the Lord face to face. There's a wonderful little story about a doctor, a country doctor, known as Doc Brackett. Doc Brackett. And Doc Brackett had a little country practice in a little town in the West. He was right above the local department store on the second floor. So there was a flight of stairs, very narrow stairs, in order to get up to his office. And the only sign that hung was above those stairs. And it said, "Doc Brackett, office upstairs." Doc Brackett would cure and try to heal the poor and the lame and all those who had no means to afford any sort of medical care. He was never married. In fact, he was scheduled for marriage. He was engaged. But on the wedding day, there was a family who needed a doctor because their child was very ill. And so he had to travel about 3 hours to get there. And his fiancée said she wanted nothing to do with that, so she called the wedding off. And he never remarried. He never was engaged again. And so he lived his whole life until his late 70s, caring for the people working in that office until one day they found him and he had died sitting behind his desk. And so the people of the town had a great funeral for him. But they couldn't decide on what type of tombstone to put on his grave. And so after the funeral, they kind of left it alone because they were going to form a great committee and commission to figure out what to do. And those who know Father Cooper know you want anything to die, form a committee. Form a commission. And you'll never hear about it again. And so they were doing that as the town people and the town's council and all of that. But that family of whose child that he saved 40 years ago, they remembered that. They didn't have any money for a marble tombstone. So you know what they did? They went to that little sign that hung above those stairs. And they took that sign and they placed it as his grave mark. And so what did his grave marker read? It read, "Doc Brackett, office upstairs." You see, my friends, that is where we're traveling. Praise God, our office will be upstairs. Our God is the God of hope, leading us to everlasting life. And so, my dear friends, as the Advent journey continues, where do we fall this day? Hope or despair? Joy or dread? Trust or fear? And wherever that may be, my friends, the power of Jesus is the power to either to strengthen us along the journey or to allow us to have a course correction this day so we may not stay in fear and dread and despair, but live in the good news of the kingdom. May God grant us the grace this Advent journey to keep our eyes fixed on Him, to know what's important, and to always be a people of hope.